Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. If you're listening to us live right now, please click the follow button so my boss knows I'm doing my job. I want to welcome everyone to Women's History Month and specifically to Women's Writers Month here on Authors on the Air. I'm going to speak to some of the best female writers in the world. And I'm starting off tonight with a very special guest host who's going to help introduce our guest. It's my pleasure to introduce Rebecca Warner to you. She is an award-winning author whose books are built on her beliefs that women can be sexy and smart and feminine and powerful without contradiction. Consequently, all of her books encourage women to pursue what they want in love and life without fear or apology. Please welcome Rebecca Warner. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Pam. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so delighted to be here.
I'm so thrilled that you're here with me to kick off Women Writers Month.
Thank you so much. Your radio show is perfect for giving us this venue. It is Women's Writers Month, and who better than you to highlight
there you
all
go.
Of these
Thank you.
Authors.
Thank you. Well, I want us now to take a look at our other guest who's sitting in her home. I'm very pleased to welcome Amy Shojai to the show. Amy and I met at Thriller Fest one year. And if you've not ever seen a picture of Amy, you've got to go look at her website, which is her last name only, shojai.net, is it, Amy, or .com?
No, .com.
.com, right. She's one of the most stunning people you'll ever see. When I first met Amy, she was wearing this exquisite purple long sleeve lace dress and her hair was up and styled, and she's got the most gorgeous smile in the world. She's a beautiful woman. And I thought, that would never happen to me. No. It would take a team of, FX people to go ahead and transform me like that. She's beautiful and very sweet, too. Amy is a very interesting lady because not only is she an author of mysteries and thrillers, she is also a pet specialist, and we're going to talk about that and why she is a pet specialist. She's been on probably every TV show, every animal show, every radio show known to man about our companion animals. I also know that she's an actor and a singer, and so it's my pleasure to welcome Amy Shojai to the show. Hi, Amy. How are you tonight?
Hi, Pam. Hi, Rebecca. Well, my face is really red now, but I'm so delighted to finally be on your show. I've been an admirer of this radio show and you in particular for so long. And, yes, I remember that purple dress, and I think listeners might be interested. I was probably wearing my bunny slippers with teeth at the time.
I think it was at the awards dinner, and everybody's tootsies retired. We did a lot of standing at Thriller Fest, you have to admit.
Oh, yes.
For the mixers and the cocktail parties and, coffee breaks and everything. And I think you probably did have your slippers on under your dinner table, which is funny. I am so happy that you're here. Can you please tell us what your official title is? Because you are an animal behavior consultant, but you are also...
Right.
Nationally known authority on pet care and behavior. What does CABC mean? And tell us a little bit about that part.
Okay, the initials, the alphabet soup after my name, CABC, stands for Certified Animal Behavior Consultant. And that means that I help pet parents deal with the problem behaviors of their dogs and their cats. And I'm certified through the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. That's at IAABC.com. And there's dog consultants, cat consultants, parrot consultants, horse consultants, believe it or not. Everybody, we love our animals, but sometimes we don't really understand what's going on with them. And so my job is kind of as an interpreter to explain what's going on with the pets and how can we adjust our behavior and perhaps theirs so that we can live together more peaceably.
Well, I have to tell you right now, I've got 5 cats, as everybody knows, and they control me just fine. When they
Yes, absolutely. People always ask me about training cats. I said, no, they train us. That's the idea. The thing is, you have to let them think it's their idea. That's the way you train a cat.
It always is. I mean, I you know, admit defeat at the hands of felines. There's just no two ways about it. But I want to share something with listeners, because you, not besides your fiction work, you have an enormous body of work of books on cats and dogs, and you recently sent me Cat Facts, and I know I mentioned this to you, but I think it's really important for me to share this, that one of my cats was having a particularly bad problem with bad breath and all that, and I know cats have a lot of dental issues. I have tried brushing my cat's teeth only to have scratches and chomped on fingers, and you know, it's not worth it. I'd rather take them to the vet tech and have the vet tech do it. But you know, I did not know what was wrong with her until after I read your book that you gave me. I went right to the diagnosis after I looked up what her symptoms were, and you were right on the money, spot on.
I'm so glad that she got the help she needed. That was the whole point that was the whole point of doing Cat Facts, because it's organized in an A to Z format, so it's easy to find. And then, as you said, there's a symptoms chart at the back of the book, so you can look up the symptom and say, oh, well, it could be this, 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 or this, and then you can take them to the vet for the specific help.
It was amazing, and I have to thank you for that, and Godiva thanks you, too. She's very happy.
Good. Godiva, I love that name.
Godiva.
Well, Godiva is, she's a long-haired mini coon. She's got a black top coat and a brown undercoat with big white tufts behind her ears and between her fingers and toes. And she was my first cat. My very first cat died after 19 years. I had her for a long time. And when I went to get another cat, there were two in the cage together, and the lady said, I'll let you from the rescue place. She said, I'll give you two for the price of one. So when I got home, she went and immediately sat on my mom's lap. My mom is a Godiva chocolate lover, so I named her Godiva. The other cat is just a tabby, but she's got the longest whiskers, and she's very, very sweet. She just wants you to pet her, pet her, pet her, feed her, feed her, feed her, pet her, pet her, pet her. So she jumped on the counter and some cupcake icing, which stayed on her nose, so she became Cupcake. All my cats are named
Cupcake. Love it. Yeah, I have a 20-year-old cat right now that is kind of my art cat. Yeah, and then I've got the interloper that is about 2.5 now. He showed up, and Karma Cat is he just terrorizes everybody, and he and the German Shepherd are best friends.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'm going to turn this part of the interview over to my guest co-host, herself an award-winning author, to Rebecca Warner. And Rebecca, take the floor. It's all yours.
Oh, thank you, Pam. Amy, I was so excited to see that you were actually quoted in the Wall Street Journal today. There was an article in the world of cat fiction, Fur Flies, over whether stars get speaking roles. What is that about?
Oh, gosh, I'm still kind of floating over that. I'm associated with the Cat Writers Association, which is a professional writers group. Many of
you
us
co-founded that, didn't you?
I helped co-found that in 1992, actually. We're in our, I don't know, seventh life by now. And a reporter had contacted our PR specialist and ask about this issue, because she had been contacted by one of our members who is a very prolific mystery writer, fantasy writer, that has cats that actually communicate and talk with the human characters. And then she wanted to do an article that gave kind of a pro and con. Some people love having the cats talk. Other people say, oh, no, it's terrible. And so they contacted myself as one of the founders of Cat Writers and asked for some other names, and we put them in touch with the other authors. And so it's kind of a fun, tongue-in-cheek feature article that kind of explains the basis of why some people like their kitty cats to talk on the page, and others would prefer them to be more realistic. I kind of come from the more realistic camp, although it's fine, and they're very popular to have cats and dogs, for that matter, speaking from the page as care. It's fiction, after all. But as a behavior specialist, I wanted to do something with my thrillers that are very pet centric. They do have animals. One of the dogs, viewpoint character, is a dog, but he doesn't talk to people. He speaks and reacts to his world the way I imagine a dog would, through smells and scents and body language and his thought processes, how I think that he might react. And you know, James Rollins was one of the first that actually did that. He's got The War Dog has a viewpoint chapters in some of his books. So this isn't something that's new. And it's in the old days they used to say, oh, don't have animals talk unless it's a kid's book. Well, today, you know, all bets are off. And the only rule in writing fiction is that there ain't no rules.
Well, you're talking about one of my favorite characters ever in a book, your beloved Shadow. And Shadow, it was the first book I had read that really had the interaction with the dog, the dog's thoughts, his smells, his instincts, as you said, and I thought it was so clever and so well done. That's the thing. You are an excellent writer. You made it. I bought it. I loved it. And, you know, in the Wall Street Journal article, you said, it was important to me to represent cats in a realistic way. They are beyond human understanding in many ways, and so are dogs. And so the way you implemented Shadow into your wonderful fiction series, the September Day series, was just a revelation to me. It was so enjoyable.
Oh, thank you so much. And here's a confession. The first draft of the debut thriller, Lost and Found, the dog's mm-hmm. name was actually Magic, which is the name of my German Shepherd, who is now 9 years old. And then I decided, well, you know, maybe I better not have my own dog's name in there, because then I'll identify too closely. Because Shadow, in the book, the problem with having animal characters in your series fiction is mm-hmm. pets age much more quickly than the human characters do. So
true.
You'll notice I have three thrillers in the series so far. I have Lost and Found, followed by Hide and Seek, and now recently Show and Tell. These take place only within a few weeks, maybe even a couple of months from each other, and it's very specifically done for the reason I don't want Shadow to grow too old too quickly.
Well, what a smart concept. I would not have thought of that, but I will say that I did think, wait a minute, that was just a couple of months ago that this situation happened to September Day and Shadow, and that makes a lot of sense to me that you are writing them in that time frame.
I love Shadow. He is the most fun character to write, to try to kind of, because I think we all imagine our animals, well, what is he thinking? What would he say in this circumstance?
Yes.
So it's a lot of fun to do that, but, you know, equal time for the cats. There are cats in the books also. They don't have viewpoint chapters, but, for instance, in Lost and Found, the first book, Macy, the trained Maine Coon, and mm-hmm. Pam will appreciate that. There's a full-size Maine Coon. He actually nails the bad guy at the very end, and so the cats are very intrinsic to the plot. September Day is an animal behaviorist and trainer, so she has all of these animal-type situations going on and can, interact with the pets in that way. And it's opened up a whole new audience for me, because as you said, you know, in the introduction, I come from the world of nonfiction. I have 30 nonfiction pet care books, dog and cat books. And so a lot of people in the reviews of the fiction are saying, oh, that's why my dog does such and such, or, oh, I didn't know that's the way cats did. So it's another way to what I call edutain the reader. You know, you don't want to have to pick up a textbook to learn all the time, but if you kind of sneak in some neato stuff in there about cats and dogs in the storyline, all power to you.
Absolutely, and that was something that I particularly appreciated. I learned a lot while I was reading it, but it was so beautifully integrated into the story that it was just this information that I always love to learn when I read. And I did love Macy as well. What a cat. And yes, you're right. Macy did play a big part in bringing down the bad guy. I thought it was interesting that you had you talked about the hand signal, the closing of the hand that you did that gave, I didn't quite understand what that did, but it worked. And it was just fascinating to me.
Yeah, well, in dog training, perhaps not so much cat training, but cats learn just as quickly, sometimes even more quickly than dogs do. But it's very common with dog trainers that when they are training, they not only give a verbal signal, but they'll also give a hand signal, because you don't have to shout that way, and you can give, for instance, my dog, Magic, the hand signal to sit is the clenched hand, the clenched fist. And so I use that with Macy. As the signal to sit. There are different signals you can give, and that works out really well, particularly in, you know, mayhem or suspense novels where you can't speak aloud because the bad guy's coming after you. But you can give a silent hand signal to the pet to go get them or protect things or whatever. And something else that I had a lot of fun with, because you know, dogs and cats have senses much beyond our human understanding. I could have a scene with Shadow in his perspective and somebody on a telephone call, and because of his sense of hearing, he could hear both sides of the conversation. He wouldn't necessarily understand, but he could hear both sides of the conversation, and that's another way to deliver information to the reader. That's kind of a neat trick that you can do. Or you can use, you know, things like the body language of somebody, and he knows that there is a gun in their pocket because he can smell the gunpowder, the oil on the pistol.
Yes. His sense of smell was just something we know dogs have, but the way you used it, the way you taught us, and the way it played into the suspense. And I must say, for you to go from all of the self-help books, the nonfiction books, to this fiction thriller genre, and to do it so well. You are an incredibly talented author.
Oh, thank you. Coming
and
from you, I can't tell you. That just, okay, can you hear my purr?
Oh, I think I did hear that purr. Do it again.
No, actually,
so
for years and years, I was a frustrated novelist. I started out wanting to write thrillers and horror and, you know, fantasy and those types of things. And I submitted an early novel to a favorite agent at the time, and she said, because it happened to be the protagonist happened to be a young girl, she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't handle young adult. Young adult does not sell." But
oh,
if you ever
really
want to do nonfiction, and she ended up being my agent for a number of years. We've since parted ways, but at the time, I mean, that's how I started with the nonfiction. I was writing for the pet press. I was a vet tech, and so I was writing personal experience stories that started out, and then medical type stories for. Then it was Cat Fancy, Dog World, all of those. And now I do those online. There's a lot of the online venues that I still contribute to. But
yes, you do. You're a very busy lady, and you have been actually an expert, I would imagine, who has been brought on the Today Show, CNN. You've been in Newsweek, Ladies Home Journal. There's so many. Animal Planet. You have just
that was fun.
You're the go-to person, and that is really a very big compliment and an acknowledgement of your talent. I don't know if the listeners know that you also did a chicken soup for the Cat Lover's Soul. We all love
yes.
the chicken soup series. How did that come about?
Well, a friend of mine, Marty Becker, Dr. Marty Becker, used to be on the Today Show all the time, contacted me. He had already done Chicken Soup for the Dog and Cat Lover's Soul with Carol Klein. And they decided that doing two different books, you know, separating the cats and the dogs out, in two separate volumes would work well. And so they contacted me because of my I'd known Marty for a long time anyway, but because of my affiliation with the Cat Writers Association, they thought this would be a way to get some very professional submissions. And so it just kind of fell into my lap, actually. And we did both of those books. They were great fun, and I learned so much. That actually helped me enormously in learning to write more of the fiction style, because nonfiction is a little bit of telling. It's more telling, while
yes.
The fiction is more the show and the chicken soup. Especially, we always talked about the chicken soup moment that is in all of those stories, the emotional tug that happens. So that's something that I love. I always knew sort of how to do it, but that really refined it, and I think that has translated well into my fiction now, with kind of those chicken soupy emotional type moments. Because Shadow, one reason I love Shadow so much, he has his own story arc. He has his
yes.
own wants and desires, and they may not match up with
indeed.
The humans. So that's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. So you were saying that did you have a lot of contributions to Chicken Soup for the Cat Lover's Soul? Did they come from your author friends in the Cat Writers Association?
We had probably 2,500 submissions.
Whoa.
Something like that for each book.
Were you the one who decided what submissions would be used?
We all did. So we narrowed that down to, I think it was right around 100, 120 stories in each book. Yeah, and that was very difficult. Sometimes
I
we would find
was.
Stories that were so close, and we could help with the editing on those. And other times, we would solicit stories. We knew of a great story and would do those, contact the people and almost do as told to kinds of stories. So,
yes.
it was a very good experience, learning experience. And, it's a well-known brand also. So it's always nice to be able to say, oh, yes, I was a co-author of Chicken Soup for the Pet. Yes.
Yes, a very well-known brand, and I think I bought every one of them, and I gave them as gifts, and they were always just so appreciated. So that is quite an accomplishment for you to have done that, and I'm delighted to learn about it and look forward to reading it. I have read a number of your books, but I haven't gotten to that yet.
Buy
so
a box of
that.
Tissues to go along with it, because,
well,
as
I would
said,
need it.
That
yes.
chicken soupy moment. It could be happy tears. It might be a little sad tears. But, yeah, you're going to have some moments. Don't read it on a plane, because people will think you're having a meltdown. That's what happened to me.
Really? And
oh, yeah.
I found it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's go right ahead.
No, reading on the plane, I understand that, yes. That's when I will avoid reading on a plane. But also, you, as far back as 2001, you wrote The First Aid Companion for Dogs and Cats. And looking at that, that has a number of hundreds of five-star reviews. That must be a very helpful book. In fact, from the reviews, it seemed like people were so grateful to have found this book. Was this something that you learned as a vet tech, the things that you needed to learn? How did you expand your knowledge to the point that you could write a first aid companion?
Something that with nearly all of my nonfiction books, yes, I was a vet tech, but I'm not a veterinarian. And my expertise is finding the experts, interviewing them, and putting their medical, technical expertise into language that you and I can understand. So for The First Aid Companion of Dogs and Cats, this is with Rodale Press, I interviewed over 70 emergency room veterinarians. Some of the people, these veterinarians were first responders for the animals at 9/11. They went in to help with the SAR dogs, and these are the people that advise and work with police and police dogs. So there's everything in the first aid book. It starts, treating first aid from abscess to splinters, to gunshot wounds, to scorpion stings, to, and everything in between. And it's one of those books, when I do book signings for the first aid book, I always sign the book, "May you never need this book."
Isn't that
because
the truth?
It's something that you want to have handy, but you hope you never have to use it.
Hope you never have to use it.
I'll tell you this real quick story. You know, yourself, Rebecca, as an author, you don't always have a lot of opportunity to meet people who read your books. So, and even at book signings, oftentimes you sit there kind of lonely and direct people to the bathroom or, you know, where's the Wall Street Journal and that kind of thing. And I do signings at cat shows and dog shows sometimes. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Thank
and
you.
I was at a cat show in Houston, actually, and had my books there. And I was signing with a couple other friends that had pet books. And this couple walked by, and they kind of did a double take. And half the time they think, oh, you're just a vendor. You're selling somebody else's books. And they happened to stop by, and they saw the first aid book and asked, and they started to leave, and then they came back and said, "That's the first aid book." And I said, "Yes, would you like me to autograph that?" You're the author? No, we already have it. That book saved our dog's life.
Oh,
I nearly
how did that
fell
make you feel?
Over.
Oh
my God! I got up. We hugged. We cried. I'm still getting a little bit.
Me too. Could there be better feedback than that?
Oh, that's the reason. That's why I do what I do. If you can save one life from a nonfiction book, oh, my gosh, how amazing is that? So, that's probably one of my best sellers. It's another one with Rodale Press, which is really selling like hotcakes now that it's out of print and all the used copies are going like crazy. It's natural healing for dogs and cats. And it really needs to be updated, but those Rodale books were very, very popular because they're very prescriptive. And that's another, every book that I've written, I've learned so much. My editors with Rodale were fantastic. They taught me so much. I was turning in 15,000 words a month over a period of time as I went. So it wasn't finish the book and then send it. It was all along the way, writing, editing, interviewing experts all along the way. I really learned how to meet a deadline. Whoa.
Okay. Sometimes people do interviews and then they compile all their information and then they write the book. But you were interviewing along the way, and you over 70 people in
that
this
was,
profession.
That was, yeah, over 70 people for that book. For Complete Care for Your Aging Cat and Aging Dog, those two books, it was around 150 veterinary experts each. I have kitten books. I have a puppy book. I've got just about everything in between now. So
it's
pretty
much
covered. But, really the people, the experts are so eager to get good information out there also. You know, As you know, the Internet is the go-to place. You can Google anything. Unfortunately, anybody on the Internet can say, "I'm an expert," and tell you something really bad.
But what a great service you're performing by talking to all of these people, compiling that kind of information, and putting it in a readable format that we can all understand and learn from. That's not easy to do.
Well,
so,
and it's something I like to do with a lot of the books. I put references in the back so people can say, oh, she interviewed Dr. So-and-so. He's at University of Illinois. I'm in Chicago. I can go contact him. So you can find the experts when I list them in the books.
What a great idea.
Ladies, I need to interrupt for just a second while we take a break. It's fascinating listening to two authors speak to each other. I'm learning so much. And I thank you, Rebecca, for being my guest host tonight. And, of course, my friend Amy. I love listening to her. She's so bright and brilliant and help me with my cats. So just let me take a moment to make a copyright announcement. This is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. We're speaking to tonight to Amy Shojai, who is just a magnificent woman. You can hear when she changes her voice to, you know that she is also an actor. She has a beautiful voice. She's a singer. She's a very, very talented mystery and thriller writer, and she also, which we've not really talked about a whole lot yet, and I know Rebecca has it on her list of things to do, to talk about, but she also is a pet. She's like the Zen master of pets for cats and dogs.
Please,
please,
I like that.
Her.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I like that too.
I'm telling you, you really are. I mean, you've helped me with my cats, as I've said, so I'm really excited about that. I want to announce that because Amy is so delightful, and I'm going to give you a copy of her book to the person who calls in tonight. I'm going to let you choose one of her thrillers, and you will get that ebook from Authors on the Air. The number to call in is 347-633-9609. That's 347-633-9609. And I'm going to go ahead and give it back to Rebecca to continue on. And I'm going to wait until we have callers, and I'll let you know, okay? In the meantime, I'm going to be quiet and listen, because I'm enjoying
this. I'm enjoying talking, Amy.
I just signed up for your newsletter, too. I was so excited to see one on your page.
Oh, cool.
I signed up for it as well.
This could be fun.
I give away
books every once in a while.
I saw that, and then they're asking me, how do you want this delivered? And I'm like, oh my God, you have to understand. My cable doesn't work. My laptop is broken. My printer doesn't work. My cell phone went from smart to dumb. Around technology, I'm like the Bermuda Triangle, honest to God. So I'm using my neighbor's internet network, you know, to be online. It's really crazy. So when they say, how do you want the book?
Well,
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how I do that. I'm jumping on my neighbor's internet network right now until I get my cable box fixed.
you have had quite a deal with that. We won't mention the provider. We don't want to have any liability by mentioning the provider. Yeah.
Comcast?
Oh, I didn't say it.
Comcast? Yes, yesterday I spoke to them 3 times, and then the modem broke after they did something to it. So.
No.
Yeah. This is a 2-month battle. I'm best friends with their technical department overseas, so I've spoken to everything. You know, their call center. I've spoken to every rep there is.
Joe, Bob, and Willie.
I can imagine.
It's really true. It's true.
Yes.
I'm going to let you get back to it, Amy. I'm going to let the caller pick the book they want. In the meantime, I'm listening in. Back to you, Rebecca. My dear, lovely guest co-host is Rebecca Warner tonight.
Oh,
have at it, Rebecca.
Thank you, Pam. I'm enjoying
this.
Thank you.
Good.
I really love a play on words, and I love the title of your book called Compet-Ability, Solving Behavior Problems in Your Multi-Dog Household. And you also have one from a multi-cat household. Did people say to you, were they asking you for advice, and you thought, I need to write a book about this?
Actually, I had written a book called Compet-Ability many, many years ago that was dogs and cats together. And
oh, good one.
So I wanted to, and honestly, that book did not sell very well. I think because a lot of people prefer a book about cats or a book about dogs. And a lot of people that have both together, they already get along pretty well. You know, that whole saw, cartoon about the cat and the dog chasing each other, that's not the norm. Most cats and dogs get along pretty well. So I decided, well, you know what I'm going to do? I got the rights back on that particular book, and I said, I'm going to divide this up into 2 books, one on cats and one on dogs. And, you know, most people don't have that many behavior problems with a singleton pet. It seems to be more when they have multiple pets.
Yes.
So I thought, okay, you know, compatibility, solving behavior problems in your multi-cat household or your multi-dog household. And then I did have some sections that still applied to both, and so I did a third one. So that's it's a series. There are three different books, one on multi-cat, one on multi-dog, and one on cats and dogs together. And these are actually some of now my most popular nonfiction books out there, because even if you don't have a whole bunch of cats, if you even have one cat, what I talk about in these behavior books, very prescriptive, describes the behavior, what's going on, why they're doing what they're doing, and what you can do to change that behavior or to redirect the behavior so that you're no longer scratching your furniture, they're scratching the legal target. They're
Good.
No longer pooping outside the litter box, or the dog's not baptizing your bed. He's actually doing his thing in the right place.
You know, you are making people's lives so much more, I'm not just going to say easy, but peaceful by providing them with these. Absolutely. I mean, we don't have a clue, generally, what to do. And to have an expert that you can actually open a book and refer to a problem and see that that's exactly what's happening in your household with your multiple pets and be able to apply some actual principles that work. They do work.
Well,
have you worked with animals?
Yeah, something that I found when I was doing a lot of the research on these books, and these particular books are ones that are based on my own expertise and background, and also many, many interviews over the years with veterinary behaviorists. So what I've discovered is, you know, cats and dogs, it's not a one-size-fits-all either. You know, what works for your cat may not work for Pam's cat, or what works for my dog may not for the neighbor's dog. And so what I try to do
Do you take your book and how do you take your book and apply it to your situation then?
Well, what I do is I explain what's going on. There are several different kinds of aggression, for instance. So I describe each different kind, why that aggression in that situation. Maybe it's normal. Aggression is normal. It's not necessarily the dog going to bite somebody. In certain circumstances, it's perfectly normal to be aggressive. It's perfectly normal to be frightened. If it becomes a problem, you know, thunderstorm phobia or separation anxiety, where they're destroying your property, or they go through a window and nearly kill themselves because they miss you so much, then you have to deal with those problems. But I describe what's going on and how, and then almost a bulleted list of here are things you can do, all right? And then I always say, you know, choose the three that are going to work best for you. Or, you know, try not everything here is going to work. Try what is going to work. And if you know, a book is not a replacement for a veterinarian or for a behavior specialist. So if these...
Good point.
This is general information to get you started. If it solves your problem, fantastic. If it doesn't, call your veterinarian, call your trainer, call your behavior person.
Actually, one of your reviewers, and I like this, talking about the First Aid Companion, one of your reviewers said, I love that the book not only focuses on first aid but prevention as well as recommendations for when to call the vet.
Yes.
That's a perfect way to present everything that you're presenting. You're letting people know, try these things, but there are people who can help you if it doesn't. If you don't solve problems.
And the whole definition of first aid is first aid. Then you see the vet. So first aid is appropriate when you don't need to see the vet or when you don't have time to get to the vet before your pet is going to die. So CPR is first aid because you don't have 30 minutes to wait.
Exactly.
You know, poison is first aid. You know, that's... These are all the different situations. So there were some reviews also that complained saying, I couldn't find such and such in this book. Well, that's because that's not treatable as first aid. You know?
Right. And so, another reviewer said that the favorite feature is the recommended medicine chest as well as dosing. Tell me about the medicine chest.
Yes, this is a home medicine chest, and it's there's a couple different features in the first aid book that things that are in your own human medicine chest you can apply to pets, and what the dosage is by weight, what is appropriate for them. Something that I discovered when I was researching the first aid book, I looked at a lot of the ones that were already out there. Many of them, really, really good information. Most of them written by veterinarians. And almost without exception, they would say, take an ACE bandage and do such and such. Get a stretcher and do this and that. Well, who's going to have an ACE bandage in a first aid situation? Who's going to have a stretcher? So the whole point, you know, some of the things that are recommended in the first aid, in my first aid book, is to, you know, you have a bloody paw, and it's maybe it's not life threatening, but it's making a mess of everything. So way you can stop that, you know, the claw has been torn or something, he's bleeding, leaving bloody paw prints all over. Great for a thriller, not so good for your carpet. put a condom over the paw.
A condom.
That will contain that until you can get that stopped. If you have problems, you know, holding a bandage or holding a towel, if you have an injury on the dog's side, for instance, put a towel across that, wrap it with Saran wrap. It sticks to itself, holds it in place. It will not stick and pull to the fur.
I cannot believe how much information is out there due to you and your efforts, and the way you write makes people want to read it and learn it, and to have it as a handy guide is just phenomenal. I love that you have done this. You've won a lot of awards for your books, haven't you?
Well,
you've won many, many awards.
I've won several, and it's always very, very heartening to be recognized by your peers. So, you know, the Cat Writers Association holds an annual contest, and so does there is a Dog Writers Association of America as well. I've been members of Dog Writers actually longer than Cat Writers, because that's why we started Cat Writers. We figured, you know, there's a Dog Writers, why don't we have a Cat Writers? We're going to start it. So,
absolutely, and you did, and have been very successful with it. But I'd love to know.
A number of awards, and we have. With Cat Writers, we have the Muse Medallion, M-U-S-E, kind of a play on words.
Yes, I love it.
And the Dog Writers has the Maxwell Medallion, just named for one of their early founding members. And then many, many corporate awards sponsored by different pet products companies. So that's always very, very exciting to enter the contest and then be recognized by your peers.
Well, you should be. But I'm going to ask you now about your new book, as I think you have finished it and edited it, and it's book number 4 in the September Day series. Is that correct?
No, this Show and Tell is the third one in the series.
Right.
So I haven't started on the fourth one yet.
You have not. I beg your pardon. I thought you'd. Maybe it's just because I'm so anxious to read it. I'm pushing you here a little bit. Are you sure? Can I be your beta reader?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? That would be wonderful.
I would be delighted to be your beta reader. You have brought us, brought your readers in a fantastic format, just some adorable characters. And I do want to ask you. You, in the back of your book, talk about contest for people to name, to have named Shadow and Macy. How many responses did you get to that?
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to remember. I'll have to go back and look. It was something like we had around 17,000 votes, something like that, for these. And, yeah, and I post the contest. You know, I'll have the rough draft of the book done before I start the contest, so I know how many cats, how many dog characters there may be, and what their role may be. So I'll post a general description that usually goes out to my Pet Peeves newsletter subscribers and on my blog, and then I'll share it on Facebook. And this, I've been doing this since the very first book. And Shadow, I named Shadow myself, but Macy was a winning name from one of the first ones.
I read that, yes.
Yeah. And this most recent book, Show and Tell, that came out right before Christmas, this past Christmas, we had six different winners. And then it was such a popular contest, I need to do something special for the runners-up also. And so there is a bonus chapter that is not in the book that I will send to anyone who does post a review and sends me the link to the review. And I also have a bonus poster, actually, which is a lot of fun, that has pictures of the actual real pets that won the Name That Dog and Name That Cat contest. So you can see the actual pets that won and are named in the book itself.
Would be so much fun, because I was fascinated by that, and I think it's a great way to engage your readers and to build an audience. And you obviously have a lot of loyal followers based upon the number of reviews that you've gotten for your books. And people are discovering them all the time, I would imagine, because you're such a prolific writer, first of all, and I don't know where you find the time to write as much as you do. And again,
who
I'm going to say,
sleep, huh?
That's exactly right. But you are a very talented thriller writer. And what awards have you won in that genre?
Well, none yet. I'm still very hopeful. No, I've entered the thrillers in both Cat Writers and the Dog Writers contest, but see, neither one of them is just dogs or just cats, so I think that may be part of the issue there. And also, there are so many really super, super talented authors of cat mysteries and dog mysteries, and so this is something that the competition is really, really, really fierce. Now,
you're right, especially
in the
fiction.
I've entered, so the thriller writers as well. And of course, when you have folks like Jeffrey Deaver and James Rollins and all of my heroes out there, it's just I enter because I have to enter. I just need to enter. I never expect
Good
to win,
you.
But I'm hoping some of the judges maybe will get a chance to read my books too, and that's always exciting. The more people who read it, the better.
Exactly, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't want to award you something significant for the writing skills and the nail-biting and the page-turning, and it is a true thriller. Your books in this series are real thrillers, and that's my favorite genre. But you're right, there is a lot of tough competition out there, and in many of these contests, publishers and agents enter their well-known authors. So,
oh, right.
Yes, and you're among elite company there. So,
oh, absolutely. And I'm a baby. I'm a baby in terms of the thrillers. I mean, there's people that have been doing this, much longer than I've been doing the nonfiction. So, that's
absolutely.
I'm just excited to be able to go to some place like Thriller Fest and meet up with people that I have read for years and that I am just in awe of, and
oh,
be able to sit
be
down
fun.
And talk with them, and they treat you like you're a real person, and of course they would talk with you. I mean, it's just one of the
but
I'm a thriller writer
like
because of that organization.
Pardon me?
I'm going to jump in here right now because our time is winding down, and speaking of awards, Rebecca, you yourself picked up a little doozy this past November. Tell our listeners about your award.
Well, thank you, Pam. I also write thrillers. My first book, Moral Infidelity, the Reader's Favorite International Contest, and I won a bronze. I was very pleased to win that. I did find out that at the awards banquet in Miami that there were over 600 entries just in the thriller category. So, and they had many thousands of entries for many different categories from around the world because it is an international contest. So I was quite thrilled about that. Thank you for
that's such an honor. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you so
much. And I happened not to be in Miami that weekend, so we did not,
we were supposed to meet up.
We were going to, and then, something happened, as it always does.
Yes.
Amy, are you going to be at Thriller Fest again this year?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we're talking about possibly having a panel with a bunch of dog thriller-type authors and some people
who do
search and rescue training and cadaver dogs and all of that. That's kind of in the works.
Oh, man, I would love to moderate that panel. Wouldn't that be fun?
Whoa.
Yes, it would. Because,
yes.
I devour all the books, and I just love doing those, listening to those panels. They're so much fun. So, Amy, first of all, I want to say thank you so much to my delightful co-host, Rebecca Warner, who is actually going to be a guest. We have her scheduled for a show on March 18, I think you said. I'm going to look in my book because I have to do paper.
March 18th.
Yes, you are. Friday, March 18th at 9 o'clock here. And as a lovely participant in Women Writers Month, which I love. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. Rebecca, you're just invaluable to me tonight. It's been a pleasure listening to you speak.
Well, thank you. It's been such a pleasure talking to Amy.
Amy, you made this just such a wonderful... We can sit here and have a mutual admiration society because I just had a ball.
There you go. There you go.
I did too.
Thank you so much.
I had a great time.
Don't go away. And Amy, tell us all the places where we can find you if we want to listen to you, not only about your pets, because I know you post on a lot of places, but do you still do a half-hour podcast?
Not anymore. I have something had to give, so those podcasts are all still up there on PetLifeRadio.com, but I'm not doing any new ones right now. My website is at shajai.com, and that's shajai.com. You can go to my Bling Bitches and Blood blog at amyshajai.com.
I love that.
The books, I do my own VO on the or voiceover on the audiobook. So the first book, Lost and Found, is available in audio, and so are the dog and the cat compatibility books and the kitten care book. So when I get more time, I'm going to put more up there in audio as well. So, and then Facebook, look for me, just Amy Shajai, and Twitter, and I'm just everywhere.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, I tweeted about you today. Any shout-outs you want to give, Amy?
Oh, shout-outs. I love to give shout-outs to all my peeps in the Cat Writers Association and the Dog Writers Association and all of the folks that have, helped me along the way, especially with the thrillers. I mean, James Rollins gave me wonderful cover quotes. Doug Lyle did, J.T. Ellison. All these people have been so helpful. The writer community is a huge, huge deal with the support system. So anybody out there who is listening and is a yet-to-be-published author, hang in there, because if it happened to me, it will happen for you.
It really will. It's true. I want to just say, personally, I'm thrilled that you finally came on. I know I've been bugging you for a while.
Yes,
and,
I know. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm so glad that you're here. You were the perfect guest to kick off Women Writers Month. I want to just let everybody know Friday, the magnificent, the delicious, the absolutely spectacular Brenda Novak will be joining us on Friday.
As you know, Amy, she
was our Silver Bullet Award winner at Thriller Fest last year, so it's going to be fun. She works with the Juvenile Diabetes Group, and she's a magnificently sweet, wonderful person. I can't wait to talk to her. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. Remember, honor the women in your life. This is Women's History Month. Say thank you to the women who have made your life what it is today. And to my host, my co-host, Rebecca Warner, to my lovely guest, Amy Shajai, oh, how much I love you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Catch your pets for us.
Good night.
That's right.